This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, salatu wassalamu ala rasulillah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa taba'a wa dahma ba'd. We have the history of Aqidah now, inshallah. And we are at page 4. We will start from page 4. And before we start, do you remember what was the homework? It was 2 weeks ago, right? It was small homework. Do you remember or no? Nobody remembers. You do? What was it? MashaAllah, very good. The first hadith, just read the first hadith of Sahih Muslim. That's all. Read the first hadith of Sahih Muslim. So that was the homework. Now who did it? MashaAllah, good. You read the hadith? You knew? No, I don't want you to memorize it. That's what I asked. I asked only to read the hadith. You read the hadith, you saw the point of the beginning of the Qadr, what Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma mentioned. Okay, this is why, inshallah, we will go through each point, starting from page 4. So, the sects did not start suddenly as a sect. Someone came and said, I am going to form a group. Nobody did that. Each one thought that he is doing something good. That's what they tell their people. So it starts with a small thing and then it becomes a big thing. And that's why, again, that's one of the objectives why we are studying this. Because we want to implement that in our time. Whenever we find a sign that is against the Quran or the Sunnah, we have to stop it. Maybe it starts with very little thing, but then it's going to be bigger. Who knows? We have now, currently, a group of people who claim to follow the Qur'an. Following the Qur'an is great. We follow the Qur'an. But they imply that they are not following the Sunnah. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned that the Qur'an and the Sunnah, both of them, the Qur'an is explained, is interpreted by the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. Alright, so signs of division in the time of the Prophet ﷺ. We talked about that, the story of Dhul Khuwaisira. Who is Dhul Khuwaisira? Do you remember? What did he do? What did he say? Yes, he told the Prophet ﷺ, Ya Rasulullah, i'dil, O Messenger of Allah, be just. So he told him, woe to you, if I am told to be just, if I was not just, who would be just? So that's Dhul Khuwaisira. What did the Prophet ﷺ say about him from his progeny? From his generations, there will be people, and they became later Al-Khawarij. They came out and they fought the Muslims. So, at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, did we have a sect? No, it was not a sect, it was an individual. Okay, the appearance of the false prophets. Also, that was something happened at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. The famous example is Musaylima in Al-Yamama. Musaylima, he claimed that he is a prophet. Just like the Prophet ﷺ receives the revelation, he also receives the revelation. Not only that, he had the audacity to send a letter to the Prophet ﷺ, telling him, Allah appointed me as a messenger just like you are a messenger. Let's divide the earth in half. Half for you and half for me. So the Prophet ﷺ wrote back to him telling him, it's the command from Allah, and Allah gives it to whom He wills, and you are a liar. You are a liar. So that's Musaylima. Other than Musaylima, do you know any example? Have you read of any of the false prophets? No? On the day the Prophet ﷺ died, he received the news of the killing of some of the false prophets, like Al-Aswad Al-Ansi. Where is that? In Yemen. There was Sijah, even a woman. A woman that was claiming to be a prophet. And she ended up marrying Musaylima. And for the celebration of the wedding, what did they say? Prayer is 3 times, not 5 times. They gave their followers discount. See, this is the false following. Whenever people follow the falsehood, that's what happens. Each one, it's like their own religion. I decide whatever I want. Even now, some people, they come and tell you, this is what you should do. Says who? Who said that? We don't have the choice to change. We are commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They say, yeah, the command came to me. Who said that? Prove it. The messengers, they had wahi. They had miracles. They had revelation. So, to prove that you are telling the truth, what do you have? At the beginning, the sign to know someone is lying, every messenger, he doubted himself. He didn't know what's happening at the beginning. When the first wahi came to the Prophet ﷺ, what did the Prophet ﷺ do? Do you remember? What did he do? What did he do? He ran. What did he say? Zammiluni, cover me up, dathiruni. And then the ayah came. Why? He wasn't sure what's happening. Musa alayhi salam, when he, Allah Azza wa Jal, when Allah talked to him directly, and he was commanded to strike the staff. He had a staff. What happened to it? Became a snake. What did Musa alayhi salam do? He also ran away. Ya Musa, aqbil wa la takhaf. Come back. Don't be scared. So, this is a sign of the truth, that you're not sure what's happening. But someone coming and telling you, I am, and what is the proof? Okay, anyway, so these are signs at the time of the Prophet ﷺ. Then we have signs of division during the time of the rightly guided Khulafa. Incident of Subayr al-Tamimi. Subayr. Have you heard this name before? Subayr used to come and ask a lot of questions at the time of Umar radiallahu anhu. We know how Umar radiallahu anhu was. Was he strict or he was flexible? So this man came and asked a question. Now asking a question, we took the method of asking a question in the Akhlaq class first week. He asked one question, then another question. Then he asked about the Sharia itself. Now, to ask a question, that's fine. You want to learn. But when you want to argue, when you question the Sharia itself, eventually what did Umar radiallahu anhu do? He brought him, he said, come here. And he started lashing him on his back. When the people later, they decided to go against Uthman, they told him, come, Subayr. He said, no. The man taught me, Umar radiallahu anhu. And subhanAllah, he was protected by that. So this was a sign of beginning. Nowadays we have people, they say we want to learn, that's fine. You want to learn, let's come and we have a discussion. Healthy discussion, dialogue. But to come and to like argue about the very existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you accepted the Qur'an. You have from the beginning to accept that the Qur'an is the word of Allah. Once you do that, then everything in the Qur'an cannot be questioned. Otherwise, you have to go back. So this is the problem with many people. They come to the Qur'an and they say, why the Qur'an says this? Well, to discuss that is wrong, because you have to go back. Do you believe in Allah or no? If you believe in Allah, you cannot say why, because this is the word of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So anyways, people who want to ask that, still they have the right to ask, if they want to learn. And the sunnah of Allah, the way of Allah, no one wanted guidance sincerely, except that Allah gave him or her the guidance. No one sincere in looking for guidance except that Allah Azza wa Jal will give that. So no problem with that. But to come when there is group and start making people confused, start instilling and putting doubts in their hearts, that's the problem. You have an issue, come, let's talk about it. But don't talk in front of everyone and then make it an issue and people are confused and divided. So that was the beginning of this thing, from Subayr, the issue of Subayr. The tree of Hudaybiyah. What is the issue of the tree of Hudaybiyah? You know the truce of Hudaybiyah, right? Allah Azza wa Jal says, لَقَدْ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ يُبَايِعُونَكَ تَحْتَ الشَّجَرَةِ. Allah is indeed pleased with the believers, those who gave you the pledge of allegiance underneath the tree. What tree? That tree in Sulh al-Hudaybiyah, when I don't want to go through the whole details of the story, but when the Prophet ﷺ and the Muslims heard that Uthman radiallahu anhu was killed in Mecca, he took the pledge from the companions to fight until death, because Uthman was only a messenger. He shouldn't be killed. He came with a message. He was an envoy to deliver a message. So all the believers, the companions, gave the pledge of allegiance to the Prophet ﷺ in that spot, underneath the tree. Later, now when a Muslim comes 10 years later, after the death of the Prophet ﷺ, and he reads this ayah, Allah is pleased with the believers when they give you, O Muhammad ﷺ, when they give you the pledge of allegiance underneath that tree. You would say, I want to see what tree it is, right? If it's there, I want. So they used to go to that tree, visit. But then later, it became an issue. That tree became a place of ibadah. So what did Umar radiallahu anhu do? He plucked it off, totally. Not only cut it, but remove it totally. So again, some people, some Muslims, they still might have the tendency of doing this. So that is the incident of the tree. Next, the objection of the priest in Umar radiallahu anhu's time. Also, this is another thing. From Ghassan, the kingdom of the Christians in the north. He came and he accepted Islam, and then afterwards he was going to do tawaf. One of the people, he stepped over him. Stumbled, you know, when it's busy, when it's crowded there, you push, you shove, you get pushed, you get shoved, so it happens. He was upset and he slapped him, because he was a king, he was a priest. Umar radiallahu anhu said, he has to slap you back, this is justice. He refused, he said, give me until tomorrow. Tomorrow what happened, he ran away. He refused to submit to that. Why? Because he felt like it's not suitable. It's humiliating for him. His rank is higher. But in Islam, we are all equal. So the issue of equality, that became also an issue. Collective dhikr and the reactions of the Sahaba. We talked about that, if you remember. Collective dhikr. When did this happen? Do you remember? At what time? Who of the companions condemned, or what did he react to the collective dhikr? You don't remember the story? I can say it again. Or leave it. Okay, then I leave it. You should pay attention. Okay. It was at the time of Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu an in Iraq. Okay. There were two of the companions, Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu an and Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu an. Abu Musa al-Ash'ari came to Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu an and told him, I want to show you something that I saw in the masjid. I didn't see anything wrong, but I want your opinion. What was happening? Abdullah bin Mas'ud came, he saw people gathered. One of them, like the leader of them, they have a halaqah. He is telling them, say Subhanallah 33 times. So they start saying Subhanallah 33 times. They finish, then he tells them, say that 33 times. They say that 33 times. So he was telling them, dictating them, and they were repeating behind him. So Abdullah bin Mas'ud immediately told them, either you have something better than what the Prophet ﷺ knew, or what you are doing is totally falsehood. Either way, you have to stop. This is not the way of the Prophet ﷺ. So immediately he condemned that. Because it was not known that the people do dhikr like that. You want to do dhikr, you do it yourself. We know after the prayer we say Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33 times, Allahu Akbar 33 times. We know that, but not in this way. Okay? So why Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu didn't say anything? Why Abu Musa al-Ash'ari radiallahu anhu didn't say anything? Because the essence of it is correct. Dhikr of Allah, is that something bad? They are doing dhikr, but still the way they were doing it. And again, that was the beginning of people started wearing wool, started doing dhikr in another way, standing up, and then it became dancing, and it starts from small things, very little things. That's how the deviation starts. So this is another thing. That's about the dhikr. Murders of Umar, Uthman, and Ali, radiallahu anhum. Now, we are looking at many incidents. Each one of them is individual, and each one of them is different from the other. Now, the issue of dhikr is different from the issue of the assassination of Uthman, radiallahu anhum. But you put all that together, it gives you the birth of these groups, these sects. So the murders of Umar radiallahu anh, Uthman radiallahu anh, and Ali radiallahu anh. You know how they happened? Each murder is different from the other. But eventually you have three of the khulafa, three of the best companions are killed. They are murdered. Umar radiallahu anh, the one who murdered him from the Magi, Majus, from the fire worshippers, Abu Lu'lu'a. You know now his tomb is a place of celebration there. Very, very unique place. They built massive building around the grave, celebrating the killer who killed Umar radiallahu anhu. Uthman radiallahu anhu, who killed him? The group of people under the leadership of Abdullah bin Saba, who was originally a Jew, and then he claimed to be a Muslim. These are the ones who killed Uthman radiallahu anh. They said, we want to install the correct khilafah. That's what they said, that Uthman radiallahu anh is deviating. Ali radiallahu anh, who killed him? Khawarij. Al-Khawarij. The Sassanids. The people who went against the Muslims, and they were very extreme. Some of the companions, to them, they noticed that the ibadah of those Khawarij was much better than their ibadah. Why? Because they were only focusing on certain things, always shaving their heads. Why? Because they go frequently for Hajj and Umrah. They read the Quran always. They have the mark. They do the prayer, but the Prophet ﷺ talked about them. They said, one of you would belittle his prayer compared to their prayer. That's how devoted they were. But they didn't have sound understanding. They didn't have correct understanding. That's why when they decided that the leaders of the fitna, the leaders of the trial, Ali and Muawiyah, radiallahu anhum, both of them were fighting, so we have to kill both of them. And they did that. They tried to assassinate Muawiyah, radiallahu anhum, but he was saved. He was stabbed, and he was poisoned. So they had to give him a medicine by kay meaning with fire, burning the wound. So he was cured. Ali radiallahu anhu did not make it. He was killed. Those people, they say about the killer of Ali, he is in the highest level. That's how they believe, that the killer of Ali, he's a hero to them. So these are incidents, one after the other, that led to the establishment of these groups, these deviant sects. Again, all these during what time? The time of the companions. From the time of Umar radiallahu anh until the end, the killing of the time of Ali. By the end of time of Ali, we have groups that are established, that they are known as a group. The main one was Al-Khawarij. They had many names. One of their names is Al-Haruriya. This is point F. Appearance of Al-Haruriya. Haruriya, they are attributed to Harura. Harura is an area. An area where they took shelter, those people. Going back to what happened, when Uthman radiallahu anhu was assassinated, eventually the bay'ah, the pledge of allegiance, was given to Ali. Everybody agreed that Ali is the Khalifa. Even Muawiyah. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu was in Ash-Sham. He told Ali, I agree that you are the Khalifa, but I'm not giving you the pledge of allegiance until you turn in the killers of Uthman. You have to turn them in. Bring them, let's put them on trial, let's punish them, and then I will give you the pledge of allegiance. Ali radiallahu anhu said, I cannot do that now. Those people, they have tribes protecting them. So Following them now will only add fuel to the fire that is already there. Let's wait. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu refused. That was the basis of their disagreement, which led to battles. Now, during that time, Ali radiallahu anhu, when he agreed at the end for the arbitration, because Ali and Muawiyah radiallahu anhu, they fought. And behind each one, a lot of Muslims. Many of them were companions also. Each one believed that they are right. Ali radiallahu anhu believed that he should wait a little bit. He is the Khalifa, so he has to force Muawiyah. Muawiyah radiallahu anhu felt that Ali radiallahu anhu is doing injustice. He has criminals and he is giving them shelter. So it was a tragic situation, but that's what happened. They fought two battles. Al-Jamal and Siffin. I talked about that briefly last time. During that time, at the end of Siffin, the second battle, at the end of the second battle, Muawiyah, when he noticed that he is losing, he said, let's go back to the Book of Allah. And he commanded the entire army to raise the Qur'an. Between us and you, Al-Qur'an. Let's go back to the Qur'an. So people agreed. Ali radiallahu anhu said, this is a trick. We, from the beginning, we are following the Qur'an. That's what we're doing. His people said, no, you have to follow the Qur'an. He said, okay. He followed the Qur'an. When he followed the Qur'an, his people said, you did something wrong. So they started isolating themselves. Started telling Ali radiallahu anhu, لا حكم إلا لله. No ruling but the ruling of Allah. They said, I didn't do anything wrong. I went back to the ruling of Allah. They said, no, you knew it was wrong and you still accepted the ruling of people. He said, no. He sent to them Abdullah bin Abbas. I talked about that last time. He sent Abdullah bin Abbas to have a dialogue with them. Half of them on one day were convinced. Half of them, and they went back. The rest, what did they do? They started praying alone. You see, that's how it started. Ali radiallahu anhu is not a legitimate ruler anymore, after he agreed for the arbitration. So we have to have our own ruler. They elected one of them. What is their name? They are called Al-Haruriyya. From Harura, from that place. Haruriyya. Haruriyya, because of that place, Harura. They are a group from the Khawarij. They elected their own ruler. They prayed alone. Ali radiallahu anhu and the entire group of Muslims, including many of the companions, were praying. They don't pray with them. Ali radiallahu anhu did not fight them. He said, we will not do anything wrong to you unless you start doing something wrong to us. You want to pray alone? Fine, we will not fight you. That's not a cause for fighting. You don't believe I am a legitimate ruler, I'm not going to force you to agree to my rulership. He left them until they started killing them. See, subhanAllah, shaitan how starts telling the people. They started saying, well, we are not following Ali. Why? We believe Ali radiallahu anhu is not Khalifa anymore. Not only that, we believe he's not a Muslim. He committed a major sin. Remember, one of their basic beliefs, Al-Khawarij, one of their basic beliefs is what? That whoever committed a major sin is out of Islam. That's how strict they were. Until they started accusing each one. That's why Khawarij, they are not one group. We have Al-Haruriyya, we have Al-Najdat, we have Al-Ibadiyya, we have Al-Azariqa. Until this very day, do you know where we have some of the groups of Khawarij? Have you heard? Oman, that's one group. Where else? But now, the ones who are now, we don't have major differences like those. Now, it's only slight differences in matters of fiqh. Algeria, we have some people also. You see where they reached? Algeria, Oman. They were a lot everywhere. They used to be in Iran also. So that's where Nahrawan. Ali radiallahu anhu fought them. When they started saying, we're not following Ali, he is not a legitimate ruler. He accepted the arbitration, so he committed the major sin, so he's not a Muslim. He's not even a Muslim. That's how they reached the conclusion, he's not a Muslim, we have to fight him. They came to him, they said, you have to say La ilaha illallah again, to accept Islam again, because you are not a Muslim. He said, I say that many times, I am of the first to accept Islam. Who are you to come now to tell me I'm not a Muslim? He was one, the first one to accept Islam from the boys, Ali radiallahu anhu. So they didn't accept that. So to them, when you are not a Muslim, I am allowed to fight you. They started like that. If I'm allowed to fight you, I'm allowed also to take your money. So they started making raids against the Muslims, their houses. their places, their properties, and killing them. One of the people, the son of Khabbab ibn al-Arat, Khabbab radiallahu anhu, used to be tortured because he was a Muslim. He had a master who used to bring the iron, heat it, and put it on his back all the way until it's cold, just to make him, to force him to reject Islam, and he refused. His son was killed on the hands of those people until eventually they killed Ali radiallahu anhu. Anyway, so that's how they started. These are Al-Khawarij. Al-Haruriya, what's the meaning of Haruriya? That's one of the names of Al-Khawarij. This is one of the groups. After the battle of An-Nahrawan, they were fought during the time of Ali radiallahu anhu in an area of An-Nahrawan, and then they, actually this is an error, it's not 73, it is 37. Okay, it's 37 of Hijrah, not 73. Next, beginning of Shi'ism, the Shia. The Shia, how it started. Just like we had people against Ali radiallahu anhu, extreme to the level that he is not even a Muslim, we had a group that they started idolizing Ali radiallahu anhu, step by step, until they used to see him and they tell him, "You are him. Anta huwa." Who? What does it mean? You are him. They started worshipping him, wal-ayyadu billah. So that's how it started. And Ali radiallahu anhu fought those people as well. He intended to burn them, but then he remembered the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. No one punishes with fire but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the creator of fire, he is the only one who punishes with fire. So he stopped that. So we have this group and we have that group. By the killing of Ali, remember, this is the funny thing. Now, the Shia in our time, or in, when you talk to them, they tell you, you have to be Shia. Shia are the true followers of the Sunnah. They are the true followers of the Prophet ﷺ. You ask them when or where they were at the time of Umar radiallahu anhu. Because their belief is what? The main belief of the Shia is that Ali radiallahu anhu is the Khalifa, the legitimate Khalifa after the Prophet ﷺ. Not Abu Bakr, not Umar, not Uthman radiallahu anhu. Ali radiallahu anhu is the Khalifa. They took it from him unjustly. They were unjust. You tell them, okay. So where they were, those Shia, where they were during the time of Umar, there was no existence. Something called Shia, there was no existence for them at the time of Umar radiallahu anhu. At the time of Uthman, there was no existence for them. There wasn't. Because of the people who defended Uthman radiallahu anhu against those who came to assassinate him, Abdullah bin Sabah and his group, the two sons of Ali, Al-Hasan and Al-Husayn. Until Uthman radiallahu anhu told them, please leave. He told everyone to leave. I don't want anybody to be killed because of me. They want to kill me, let them kill me. So there was no existence for the Shia at that time. They started after the time of Ali radiallahu anhu. After the time of Ali, they, especially after his death, again, they are all connected. Abdullah bin Saba, he started giving the idea that Ali was not killed. He was just like Musa alayhi salam. He went for the appointment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he will come back. That's why some of the Shia, some extreme, they believe that, because they believe Ali is not even a human. He is a god or semi-god. They say that he will come back again. Some of them went to the other extreme, they said he is God. Some of them said he should be the Prophet, not the Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we have many sects of the Shia as well. But the common one, the Shia Ithna Ashariya. Ithna Ashariya, those are the common ones, the ones that are in Iran, the ones that you come across most over the world. What do they believe? They believe they have 12 Imams. 12 Imams, beginning from Ali radiallahu anhu and his children, and then all the way until Al-Hasan Al-Askari, Muhammad bin Hasan Al-Askari, the one that they say that he hid in the room downstairs until now. So he's over 1,000 years. That's what they believe. That's their 12th Imam. He is Al-Mahdi. To them, he is the one that is guided, that will come out and he will fight first the people of Sunnah, us, before fighting the Kuffar. We will come to the details, inshallah. The point here now is just the beginning. You see how every group started the beginning in a different way, but they are all connected at the same time. The time of Umar radiallahu anhu, the time of Uthman radiallahu anhu, the time of Ali radiallahu anhu was a time of fitna, time of trials. A lot of people accepting Islam. You have to understand that. A lot of people accepting Islam. They had previous beliefs. Muslims are expanding. A lot of new people, they didn't see the Prophet ﷺ. They didn't live or witness the revelation. So they start having questions. They don't do the right thing, but they do the wrong thing. They start their own, forming their own belief, and then they try to make the ayat or the ahadith apply to what they believe. That's how it started. Then we have, after that era, the appearance of the storytellers, Al-Qussas. Storytellers. That's another issue. Who are the storytellers? Nowadays, you might be invited to a nice class. Talk. What is the subject of the talk? Something. Story. Nice story. About two people, they loved each other and they are happily married forever after. For instance, okay? At the time of those people, same thing. They had a huge following, even in our time. By the way, you have to differentiate between scholars and speakers. A speaker might be a very well in terms of speaking, giving speech, but he might not have proper knowledge. He might have some knowledge, but not proper knowledge. Is that person the right one to seek knowledge from? But it's nice to go and listen for a lecture or a talk, right? That's it. At the time of the companions, at the end of the time of the companions, that also something that started to happen as well. The appearance of the storytellers. Now, who would have huge following? Even now, when the speaker or the scholar? Speaker. Why? That's the nature. We'll talk about that also tomorrow, inshallah, in the session of seeking knowledge. Seeking knowledge is not easy. It's tough, usually. It's rough. But storytelling is nice. Right? So, at the time also of the companions, at the end of that time, those storytellers, they had huge following. Huge following. And they lasted. Those storytellers, it became a profession. Making a lot of money. Just like now TV stars, movie stars, just like that. Until one time, actually, one of the storytellers, he was telling a story and he mentioned the Prophet ﷺ. He said the Prophet ﷺ is now enjoying the companionship of Allah Azza wa Jal. He is sitting on a throne, also beautiful throne next to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One of the scholars, he was very upset with that. He came the next day, he said, Alhamdulillah, alladhi laysa lahu anis, wa laysa ala arshihi jalis. That's how he started his session. Refuting what the storyteller said. What happened to that scholar, Imam ibn al-Jawzi? He was beaten. He was beaten by the people. People don't differentiate between what is true, because what is nice is not always true. It's nice, but it doesn't mean it's true. So anyways, those people started. When they started, that also caused a reaction. One of those reactions is fabricating the hadith. Fabricating the hadith. How and why? One of the people, he fabricated every hadith for every surah. We have 114 surahs of the Quran. So he forged 114 hadiths. If you read this surah, that's how much reward you will get. Reading surah is nice, but you don't have to fabricate a hadith. They brought him. They discovered what he did. They told him, what did he do? He said, I saw people going for storytellers. I wanted to bring them back to the Quran. That's not the right way. This is the problem. That's not the right way. The Prophet ﷺ warned against that. If you lie against the Prophet ﷺ, you are reserving your seat in hellfire. It's a major sin. It's not even any sin. It's a major sin. He said, I didn't lie against him. I lied for him. Try to make it appearing nice. But it doesn't help. So that's something that also happened. The appearance of the storytellers. Questioning the Sharia and raising objections against it publicly. This happened during the time of Umar, if you remember, Subayr, that's one of them. Another one also, we have something called nationalism, Shu'ubiyya. Those people who accepted Islam, but they hated the Arab. Now, the Prophet ﷺ, from what race? From Quraysh. Quraysh are what?
Arab.
So you are not Arab. You come and you say, why he is from the Arab? He's not. Actually, I was one time, this was in 2005, I was on live TV, Muslim channel, one of the brothers called, and he said Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was black. He's black, he wants to be, this is his belief. So how you convince someone like that, that color, race is not an issue? It doesn't matter whatever your race is, whatever your color is. What matters is your actions. So those people, they accepted Islam, but many of them, they still had the hatred against Arab. So actually they started going against Islam itself. You tell them, they say, no, we love Islam, we are Muslims, but we are against this race. So it's not about the Arab or non-Arab, it is about what Allah chose. Allah chose Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam from Quraysh. Does it mean that they are better? No. Because the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is one of the worst people in hellfire. Abu Lahab. So it's not about the race itself. But some people understood it like that. So this is again raised some questions against the religion itself. Those who accepted Islam with the intention of fighting Islam from within. We have the Zanadiqa also, Zindiq, the one who declares Islam but he hides kufr. He's not a hypocrite, he is a disbeliever, Zindiq. He wants to misguide people. He wants to deviate people. He only accepted Islam by words, but he is hiding kufr. So, that's all these incidents, they led to the establishment of these sects. The beginning and the birth of these sects, one by one. Next page, page 5. Most of these were innovations in actions. Not many were deep theological differences. At the beginning it was true. Yes, it was difference in actions. But then later it became in belief. Like, even the Shia themselves. At the beginning, you look at the core of their belief. What was it? Ali radiallahu anhu is the Khalifa. Not Abu Bakr or Uthman. That could be a political issue. Instead of that person, it is this person. But then it became part of the religion itself because they believed that the other companions were traitors. The other companions were hypocrites. So we cannot tolerate that. We cannot say we are the same. They believe that they are coming close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by hating Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma and the other companions as well. So at the beginning, yes, it started as a small thing. The dhikr, the same thing. People started dhikr. But then it became very extreme. Not only by wearing wool, but also by having some beliefs. That you become so devoted in ibadah that you don't need to do any more ibadah. You don't question anymore. That's why some of the extreme groups of Sufis, they have their leaders, they don't pray. They sit and they tell the people, do this. What about you? No, I reached the level. What do you mean reached? I reached the level of forgiveness, where all obligations are exempt. They have this, wallahi. You see people, now they don't tell you. If you are a general, they don't tell you. But when you go deep, you will find some people like that. There are people like that. And it was even more extreme during that time. They had two beliefs. Al-Ittihad and Al-Hulul. We will, inshallah, talk about them when we come to the sect itself. Al-Ittihad, Wuhdatul Wujud. What does it mean? Again, it begins with this simple thing. everything is the creation of Allah. Yes or no? It is creation of Allah. So everything is beautiful because Allah is beautiful and He created everything is beautiful. Then it became everything is part of Allah. You look at this, you look at Allah Himself because that's His creation, that's part of Him. That's how it became. Wahdatul Wujud. Al-Hululiyya also. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in that person. You look at there, this is Allah. You look at here, this is Allah. Walayyadu billah. That's extreme. There are people like that. And some of them were killed. Their matter was raised to the Khalifa. He knew about them. They were questioned, investigated, and they were condemned, and they were killed. Al-Hallaj, Ibn al-Farid, and many other people also. They were like that. So, at the beginning, you see it as a very simple thing. Very simple thing. But then it becomes extreme. Here are some other examples. Falling over and wailing when listening to the Quran. That is another thing. You see, subhanAllah, we always like to attract attention to ourselves. Just going to pray and fasting will not take you so much because everybody is doing that. You want to be something, you're doing something unique so people would know you or would point to you. At that time, what was that? It was extreme reaction to the listening of the Quran. Now, to the other extreme, which we have in our time, unfortunately, alhamdulillah, we have Quran everywhere, on the phone, in the car, here. You're listening to the Quran as if you're not listening to anything. It's the word of Allah. You should pay attention. You should try to understand. Unfortunately, we don't have that many times. Why? Because it's so abundant. At their time, they went to the other extreme. Allah! Whenever they hear the word of Allah, they shiver. Okay. They pass out. How can you fake that? They started faking that. Why? When you look at him, what's your instant reaction to someone that is shocked from listening to the word of Allah? Exactly. This person is very pious. Because Allah says, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. If we were to reveal this Quran to a mount, what will happen to the mount? This mount will crack, will be humbled because of the listening to the Quran. And it's an inanimate object. This mountain doesn't have soul. So how about you, human being, you have soul and you don't react? So those people are showing you the extreme reaction, which means they are extremely pious, extremely devoting their ibadah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To the extent, one of the scholars said, let's bring them at the brink of a cliff and see if they pass out there. Because they fall, they will die. Will they do it? So this is a phenomenon that also started happening. The extreme reaction to the listening of the Quran. Why? At their time, again, the only way to listen to the Quran by somebody reciting. They didn't have recorders, they didn't have PCs, they didn't have this. Collective dhikr, we talked about that. How it started, only people gathered with good intention. Let's do dhikr, and then it became dancing sessions, standing, sitting, laying down. I witnessed, this is something I saw with my eyes, nobody told me. People sit, they turn off the lights, and they start saying, who, instead of Allah. They start Allah, Allah, and then it's who. The letter ha. And they turn their faces. Why they turn their faces? They say you have, when you pronounce it, closer to the heart. Sometimes you look at it, you feel sorry for them. The essence of it is good. Yes, you want your dhikr to be from your heart. But is this something that the Prophet ﷺ did? Did he tell you to do that? Where are you bringing this from? Anyway, so making the Prophet ﷺ's house, the Prophet ﷺ's house is where he was buried. Part of the masjid and decorating it. Now historically, they started expanding the masjid. You need more space, more people are coming. So they went to the front, to the north, they went to the right, they went to the back. The only thing that is left is the left side, which is the place where the Prophet ﷺ is buried. What to do? what to do. Eventually, they said, we have to include it in the masjid. So that's how it happened. Because when you talk to people that you cannot pray in a masjid where there is a grave, they tell you, well, there is the Prophet ﷺ's masjid. It's different. It's not the same. But anyway, some people, they go there with the intention of paying prayer to the Prophet ﷺ himself. You see them even during the prayer. There is room, they don't go there, they go behind the grave of the Prophet ﷺ. They say, we want to pray there, it's more rewarding. No, it's not. Even the Prophet ﷺ himself warned. Last thing, one of the last things he said before his death, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ الْيَهُودَ وَالنَّصَارَى. May Allah curse the Jews and the Christians. Why? They took the graves of their prophets as place of worship. That's why they deserve the curse. In Islam, we don't have this. So, this is another thing. D, the appearance of Al-Mukhtar ibn Abi Ubaid al-Thaqafi. Al-Mukhtar ibn Abi Ubaid from Thaqif. What is so special? Not really a special thing because it happened before at the time of the Prophet ﷺ, but here it happened again later. He claimed also to receive the revelation. The Prophet ﷺ said, يَخْرُجُ مِنْ ثَقِيفْ كَذَّابْ وَمُبِيرٌ. From the area of Thaqif, there will come two people. One of them is a liar and one of them is a killer. The killer is very well known, Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf, Al-Thaqafi, from Thaqif. The liar, Al-Mukhtar, this one. Al-Mukhtar ibn Abi Ubaid Al-Thaqafi. He is also a liar from Thaqif. The appearance of Al-Qadariyya. The ones who denied Al-Qadar. Ma'bad Al-Juhani, who died in the year 80. If you read the first hadith of Sahih Muslim, you would know that name. Ma'bad Al-Juhani. He is the one who started that. Ma'bad Al-Juhani, Al-Qadariyya. He died in the year 80. So this started way before. Okay, as I told you, at the time of Abdullah bin Umar, radiallahu anhuma, one of the first groups, one of the first sects is Al-Qadariyya. They deny the Qadar. Again, the argument of them is what? Allah is merciful. Allah does not allow evil to happen. Allah is so merciful, you wouldn't allow something to happen. So that means there is no predestiny. Things happen just like that. When they happen, then Allah decides what to do or what to happen. وَلَيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ. Why? They cannot understand how the Qadr works. They cannot understand that something could be evil, yet it doesn't mean necessarily that Allah wanted it. Allah merely allowed it. Allowing something doesn't mean liking it. Do you know that? Okay, so I don't need to explain because this is an important issue about Qadr, the levels of the Qadr, how the Qadr works. Allah says, إِن تَكْفُرُوا فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ غَنِيٌّ عَنْكُمْ. If you disbelieve, you should know Allah is not in need of you. وَلَا يَرْضَى لِعِبَادِ الْكُفْرِ. Yet He approves not of disbelief. So He doesn't approve it, but He allowed it. He doesn't like it, but He allowed it. Why? Because He is just. If He forces us to do things, then what is the basis of accountability? If I was forced, whether to believe or disbelieve, then why you hold me responsible? I didn't have a choice. Allah gives us choice. So even when we do something wrong, Allah allowed it, He knew about it, but not necessarily liked it. Those people didn't understand that. They said, no. Innocent people are killed, children are killed. It cannot be. It cannot happen. So that's the appearance of Al-Qadariyya. Trying to fabricate a hadith. We had many people. Some of them were just business people. You have business and you want to sell your product. Like sweets. Whoever ate sweets will be blessed, will have longer life. So everybody will go and buy sweets. They didn't mind fabricating a hadith. Others, they had good intention, like this one, Isma ibn Maryam, the guy who fabricated the hadith for every surah of the Quran. 114 hadith. Then we have the people who started following the madahib, the schools of thought. Like the Hanafi school of thought, the Shafi'i school of thought. They went to the extreme so much that they went against the other madhab. One of the extreme followers of the Hanafi school of thought, they fabricated a hadith against Imam Shafi'i, rahimahullah. What's the name of Imam Shafi'i? Muhammad Ibn Idris. They fabricated the hadith saying that the Prophet, that's what they claim, the Prophet ﷺ said, there will be a time when a man will come with the name of Muhammad ibn Idris. He is worse than Iblis. وَلَيَاذُ بِاللَّهِ Some, they did that. So sometimes, subhanAllah, hatred, ignorance could take you to places you never expect to go there. They didn't have the right religion. They didn't have the right following. They didn't have the right piety. The appearance of the opinion of Bada'a. Bada'a. What's the meaning? It's similar to the Qadar. Bada lillahi. It's something that is new. Allah only knew about it now. So that's why it's changing. That's why it is happening. It's part of the Qadariyya also. Then H, point H is important. The appearance of Al-Irja, Murji'ah. Murji'ah also one of the first groups to be established. Murji'ah. Until our time, we have some people from that group. How? You have people in our time, they tell you, as long as you say La ilaha illallah, it doesn't matter. Why? The Prophet ﷺ said, "Man qala la ilaha illallah, dakhala al-jannah." He who says la ilaha illallah will enter Jannah. Did the Prophet ﷺ say this or no? He said that. Does it mean we don't do anything? Why? The Prophet ﷺ said, if you say la ilaha illallah, you'll enter Jannah. It's authentic hadith. Just like the Christians, accept Jesus as Savior, as your Lord, and you're forgiven. So no need for the actions. How it began in a different way. Some of the Muslims, they were shocked to see two of the companions fighting each other. And a lot of Muslims are killed. So, they didn't know what to do. Whatever coming to them, questions, things, what do you think? We don't know. Later, it became, what will happen, we don't know. It's up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, it started as a reaction, a disappointment to the situation, but then it became part of a belief, of a group, theological difference, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who will ultimately forgive or punish, which is true. That's what happens. But Allah Himself says in the Qur'an, whoever did this, that's what he will be rewarded. Or whoever did that, that's how he will be punished. But they would say, even if you commit all sins in the world, it's not really a big deal, you could be forgiven. And even if you were the most pious person, you could be also punished in hellfire. It's up to Allah. Which is true, it's up to Allah. But we are only saying what Allah Azza wa Jal said. Later again, it became part of a belief in actions that the belief, the true belief is only to say, I believe. You said, I believe, that's it. No matter, whatever you do, you will be forgiven. What happened between Muawiyah and Ali? It's up to Allah. Based on the ayah, again, you see every single group, they try to take something from the Quran, from the Sunnah and twist it. Allah says in the Quran, وَآخَرُونَ مُرْجَوْنَ لِأَمْرِ اللَّهِ إِمَّا يُعَذِّبُهُمْ وَإِمَّا يَتُوبَ عَلِيهِمْ And there are people that are left to Allah. Their matter is left to Allah. Whether they will be punished or they will be rewarded. So what about Muawiyah and Ali? It's up to Allah. We don't know who's right, who's wrong. Allah will either forgive them or punish them. What about the sinners? It's up to Allah. You could sin and it's okay, you will be forgiven. What about the people who obey? Again, you could be forgiven or you could be punished. So everything is what? Up to Allah. So what do? You don't have to do anything. Just say, I believe. That's also part of a reaction to the current situation at their time, and then it became a group. Until our time, you have people telling you, inshallah, Allah will forgive me. Why? I believe. I know my heart is pure. Okay, but your actions are terrible. So you might be forgiven. No one can say no. Allah is the most merciful. But at the same time, Allah says about Himself, He is severe in punishment. So you have to balance both. You cannot take one and leave the other. Those people, murji'a, they took only one, the forgiveness. That Allah is most merciful, most forgiving. So no matter whatever you do, you could be forgiven. The appearance of the Khawarij. We talked about that, the Khawarij, how they started from the time of Ali, from the arbitration. Specifically the arbitration that was like the straw. The arbitration started the Khawarij. They were extreme in their actions, and they were worshipping Allah a lot, but it didn't help them because they didn't have sound understanding. One of them came to Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhuma, and he was asking him about the blood of the mosquito. The mosquito, how much blood would it carry? One drop, right? So they were asking, would that affect the purity of wudu, of clothes? Should we wash them? And he told them, how stupid you are. You're asking about the blood of a mosquito and you're not asking about the blood of many people that you killed. That's their understanding. They killed many of the followers of the companions. They killed Ali radiallahu anhu. So some people are like that, unfortunately. So this is the reaction of the companions. And alhamdulillah, you look at all these groups, deviant sects, how many of the companions were in any of these groups? Zero. Zero. Not even a single one. That's why it's important to follow not only the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, but also the way of the companions. مَا أَنَا عَلَيْهِ وَأَصْحَابِي. This is the group that is protected, that is saved. What the Prophet ﷺ is doing and what his companions. Khawarij, zero companion. Murji'a, zero companion. Qadariya, zero. Shia, even Ali radiallahu anhu, they say we love Ali, we follow Ali. He disapproved of what they are doing, of what they said. If you believe truly Ali radiallahu anhu is the Khalifa, what is Ali's reaction? When they say we hate Umar, you ask them which Umar? Umar the son of Ali? Because he had a son, his name is Umar. Or Umar ibn al-Khattab. So, alhamdulillah, not even one single companion followed any of those deviant sects or groups. The appearance of Allah, of the denial of Allah's names and attributes, that also became in a later stage, but became very dangerous as well. Although it's not as dangerous as before. Why? It affects the individual himself or herself, not the community as Muslims. The denial of Allah's names and attributes. Until our time, we have many people, they do that. I give you a simple example. When they ask, where is Allah? Where is Allah? And
everywhere.
What do you mean everywhere? In the bathroom, walayadu billah? You cannot say that. That is not true. Allah said about himself, fis sama, above his throne. That's where Allah is. His knowledge, his existence is everywhere. Yes, he knows where we are. He is aware of what we're doing. But you cannot say everywhere. That's not the answer of the Prophet ﷺ. Anyways, that's just a simple example. Whether you believe or you say he is everywhere, or he is above his throne, is that going to affect another person? It's only you. So that is not as serious to the community as the previous sects and groups. This also started on the hands of Al-Ja'ad ibn Dirham and his students, Jahm ibn Safwan, and later on. Al-Ja'ad ibn Dirham, he took the beliefs, he was influenced by the Jews and Christians. Remember, I told you, at that time, a lot of Muslims were accepting Islam. And they were encountering different cultures, different nations, different books. The Greeks, philosophers, they were translated to Arabic, so they started taking from them. It looks nice, so let's adopt this methodology. They didn't look at it, whether it's right or wrong. Like a simple example, when Allah says in the Quran, وَجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ نَاظِرًا إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرًا. Looking at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or you cannot see Allah? Allah promised the believers in Jannah that they will be able to see Allah. It's the greatest pleasure in paradise. Looking, being able to see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The question comes here, how? How? If you are able to see Allah, does that mean Allah is in a form like a creation? See, this is the trail of falsehood comes. Allah said about something, you believe in it, how? You don't know. We didn't see Allah, we don't say how. We believe in what Allah said. Okay, so this man, he started saying, Allah is not a human, cannot be a human. So anything for humans cannot be attributed to Allah. That led to the belief that when Allah says, Yadullahi, the hand of Allah, Allah does not have a hand. Because if Allah has a hand, He's like humans. Allah does not speak. Allah says in the Quran, وَكَلَّمَ اللَّهُ مُوسَى تَكْلِيمًا Allah spoke to Musa alayhi salam. He denied that. So the idea itself is what? Every idea of every deviant sect sounds nice, but it leads to falsehood. The idea is that Allah is creator, not creation. So we cannot attribute anything from the creation to Allah. That was the idea. It looks nice. But when Allah Himself tells us that He rose above the throne, الرَّحْمَنُ عَلَى الْعَرْشِ اسْتَوَى يَدُ اللَّهِ فَوْقَ أَيْدِيهِمْ وَلِتُصْنَعَ عَلَى عَيْنِي Does Allah have eye? If Allah says so, we believe. If Allah doesn't say, it doesn't mean that it's the same. Even now we have microphones, speakers. They are not like the way we speak. And we are all creation. So why you say, by necessity, if Allah has this, then it means that? No. Even with the creation, it's different. But again, this is the last group. Is not as dangerous as the previous groups. Why? Because it only affects the person. It is dangerous on the person himself because you are talking about Allah Azza wa Jal Himself. You are denying parts of His attributes, some of His attributes, some of His most beautiful names. So that's roughly the appearance of these groups and sects. We finished with page 5 and inshallah we'll stop here. We can continue later. We will begin inshallah next time from page 6. And now you have the floor if you have any comments, any questions, any follow-up.
Will all these groups be cursed by Allah without my ear?
Where all these groups?
That you mentioned.
Yeah.
They follow what they...
Okay, good question. You heard what the brother said? These groups... Are they all condemned? Are they all going to hellfire? Remember the hadith? First session, what did we say? The hadith, the Prophet ﷺ said, Jews were divided on 71 sects. Christians were divided on 72 sects. Muslims will be divided on 73 sects. All of them are hellfire except for one. Now, it doesn't mean that every single one of every single group of those deviant sects is going to hellfire. In general, the speech is in general. Because we like to label ourselves, we like to purify ourselves. Okay, I am from the saved group. I am from Ahlul Sunnah. Well, it doesn't matter what you say, it's easy to say that. Your actions. Okay? Generally, the groups, yes, because their belief, you look at their belief is falsehood. Jahmiya. Those who followed this and denied the names and attributes of Allah, what they did is terrible. So they are in hellfire. Shia, they are in hellfire. But some of them, like you look at one individual, he doesn't know. His heart is pure, his actions are very good. So he might be forgiven. Same thing, some of the followers of Ahlul Sunnah will be in hellfire. Doesn't mean that just because I say I'm from Ahlul Sunnah, I am pure and protected. But generally speaking, yes, that's what the Prophet ﷺ said.
Permanently or
from?
Depends on.
Generally, all those groups, as the Prophet ﷺ said, they will be in hellfire. Now, what does it mean they will be in hellfire? It doesn't mean that they are there eternally. But it means that they will not be from the first to enter paradise. So they will be punished. For how long? Allah knows best. But they will not be there forever. They are still Muslims. This is very important. We don't believe that they are disbelievers. They are Muslims. We share beliefs with them, but also we differentiate ourselves from them. They deviated in one area or many areas. Okay, any other questions or comments? Okay. Jazakumullah khairah. What time do we have the next session?
3:45.
3:45. Okay.